Okay, Amud v'Chazara with Daniel Eisenberg. We're doing Maseches Brachos. Tonight's Amud is Chav Ches Amud Beis. We're starting from the two dots at the bottom of Chav Zayin, Chav Ches Amud Aleph. So, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi?
Yep.
Okay, wonderful. So, Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, interesting, something to think about. The previous comment of the Gemara, if you remember, the previous comment discusses a conversation that took place where Rav Zera wasn't feeling well, and there was a question if there was a halacha that he wasn't sure about something. He says Meshum de Mesafkali Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. I was besafik about Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, and there are ways to understand it. It's possible it might connect to this phrase. I'll let you think about it yourself in the Chazara, but let's begin tonight. And also, of course, we're dedicating the Shir in a schus of protecting us and our families from the Geifa and Refua for everybody who needs it. And Yirtz Hashem is should be one of the Shirim that really leads into the Yeshua. So Amar Yeshua ben Levi, Kol HaMispalel Tefila Shel Musafin La'achar Sheva Shos. So anybody who davens, Musaf, after the 7 hours into the day, which according to the Rabbanan it's fine, but according to Rabbi Yehuda it was a problem. The Rabbi Yehuda, Alava Kasuv Omer, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, what does the Pasuk say about him? It's a Pasuk in Sivanya. And the Pasuk says, Nuge Mimoed Asafti Mimei Chayu. It's Nuge from the Moed, because right, that's why I have destroyed, and it's from you. So again, this word nuge is a little bit of a mysterious word, but nuge from the moed that I have destroyed is mimechayu. It's from you. So the understanding is going to be that there's some brokenness that comes to a person because of the moed, right? That somebody missed a certain moed, they missed a certain time, and because of that, they're experiencing this nuge, this brokenness. Meaning that according to Yehuda, you missed this man musaf. There's this brokenness that you get. My mashma, dehai nugi lishnun de tavrahu. So how's that implied? How do we see the lashon of nugi is brokenness? Who said that means broken? So kimitargan Rav Yosef, as Rav Yosef was matargan, we'll see this a lot of times in Shas, Rav Yosef, being an expert in Targum, in translation. And he gives the, translation of tavra asi al sonehen de beis Yisrael. That he says it's a lashon of breaking that will be experienced by the sonayan shel debes Yisrael, the enemies of Israel, which is of course a lashon sagi nahar, a euphemism for the klal Yisrael themselves. Al da achro zmane modaya de Yerushalayim. Why are they getting this brokenness? Because they delayed the times, the appointed times in Yerushalayim, meaning that the Rav Yosef's targum, his translation, of this pasuk in Sefania is referring to people who miss certain zmanim, and therefore there's a certain brokenness that they experience. And a similar teaching, very very similar, even the same pasuk. Amar b'lezer kol mispalel tefilas shel shachris la'achar arba shaos. Anybody who davens tefilas of shachris after 4 hours. Now of course, again according to the Rabbanan that's fine, but according to Rabbi Yehuda, which is the way we hold, it's a problem after 4 hours. Remember aviad b'chlal, but at the end of 4 hours, you've missed zman shachris according to Rabbi Yehuda. So alav akasuva omer according to, about you, that's the pasuk says, same pasuk in Sefania, nu gevi moed asafti mimechayu. Right, that there's this nuge over here. It's going to be like some sort of pain. We're going to translate nuge as pain. Some pain from the moed I have destroyed, and this is all from you. My mashma dahai nuge lishnon tzitzarahu. How do we know that nuge is a lashon of tsar? Before we said it was brokenness. It's a hard word. We don't know what nuge is, right? I mean, I guess you know if you get a nuge, right? So that could be pain. If a tough enough nuge, you can get really tough nuges. Then you can get brokenness. What's nuge? How do we know it's a lashon sarhu? Diksiv dalfa nafshi misuga. Right, this is a pasuk from Eicha, and this is using a lashon of that my soul is down from misuga, it's melting from this misuga, which is an affliction. So one pshat in nuge is that it's brokenness, another pshat it's affliction. Either way, it's not something that you like so much. It is brought down that a difference between the affliction and brokenness. Brokenness is a lot more harsh than affliction, right? So why would it be more harsh to miss Musaf than to miss Shachris? Based on what we did at the bottom of the first Amud in the fourth Perek, why would it be worse to miss Musaf, that it would be brokenness than missing Shachris?
Tashlumen.
Right. Excellent. Exactly. There's Tashlumen, right? Chav Vav Amud Aleph, that there is a concept of Tashlumen, but Tashlumen does not apply to Musaf. So it makes sense that there would be a harsher teaching against one who misses Musaf than misses Shachris, because he can make it up by Mincha. Okay, and Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Mehacha. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak gives a different pasuk to source it. Besuloseha nugos v'hi marla. Right. Her besulos. This is from Echa. The other pasuk is from Tehillim. I'm sorry. This one is from Echa. Besuloseha nugos v'hi marla. Besuloseha nugos v'hi marla. Right. That her besulos are nugos. They're in pain. V'hi marla, and she Yerushalayim is embittered. So again, we see this lashon of nuge in a lashon of tsar. Okay. Top of the amud. Tonight's amud chav ches amud beis. So here's a quick story of Rav Avya. Rav Avya cholesh velo asa lefirka. De Rav Yosef. Rav Avya was not feeling well. He was feeling weak, and he didn't go to the shir de Rav Yosef of Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef, of course, he and Rabba were the gedolei ador of their generation. I think third generation Amorayim. And they were the Rosh Yeshiva of Sura and Pumbedisa. And at the time, Rav Yosef was, Rashi enlightens us a little bit. It tells us, Shehi Rosh Yeshiva of Pumbedisa. He was Rosh Yeshiva of Pumbedisa. And this is interesting. We're about to see. V'haya doresh b'Shabbos kodem tefilas ha-musafin. They would have a drush on Shabbos before Musaf. Heard of such a concept before, but it's interesting to see this is back in the time of the Gemara. It's a little bit different though, because it says, Ula achar ha-drush, after the drush, ha-hayu holukin le-beis ha-kinesis. Then they would go to shul. Right? So there's like a drusha. I don't know if it was the same building. It could be Pumbedisa was far, and there was a shul down the block. It could be it was in the same building. I don't know, but they would actually move locations. Imagine, okay, we sit there, right? We start Yom Porkan, and then Avrachim Ashrei return the Sefer Torah, and then everyone goes into the other room for a shir, and then comes back after the drasha of the Musaf. But that seems to be the practice that they did. Mispalel in Tefilas Musaf, and then they would daven Musaf. Okay. So anyway, Rav Avya did not show up. He did not show up to the drasha because he wasn't feeling well. So lemachar the next day, ki also when he came, ba Abaye lenuche daiti to Rav Yosef. Abaye was a Talmud of Rav Yosef, right? He also he and Rava were of the next generation and became the gedolim of the dor. And Rav Abaye wanted to. Be Menoch the das of Rav Yosef. He wanted to make him feel better. He wanted to find out, maybe I can inquire what happened. It could be Rav Yosef was a little offended that Rav Avi didn't show up. So Amar Lehi, he said to him, "My time alohas Amar Leperka. Why didn't you show up to Shir?" Amar Lehi, he said, "To have a chalish Lebai. I wasn't feeling well. Velo Metzina, I wasn't able to." Amar Lehi, so Abaye didn't let him get off that easy. Amaylo Tam Tamidi, why didn't you taste something, eat a little bit? You get some strength via season, then you would have come. Why didn't you do that? Amar Lehi lo savar la mar lahod Rav Huna. He said, like, I would have loved to eat something, but don't you hold of the opinion of Rav Huna? Damar Rav Huna, asar lo la adam shiitam klum kodem sheis pal tefilas musafin. It is asar for a person to taste anything before davening musaf. Uh-oh, kiddush clubs, beware. Amar Lehi. So he said to him, so then you should have just davened Musaf Biachidus earlier. Daven earlier, taste a little bit of something, and then come to the Shir. Why didn't you do that? Abaye is not letting him get away with this. Right? We've had Rebbeim like this in the whatever yeshivas we've been in. Every excuse you try to give, they say, hey, not so fast. So he says, why didn't you do that? Amar Lehi, so again, he responds, Do you not hold the teaching of Rabbi Yochanan? You're not allowed to daven musaf before the tzibur davens musaf. Right? Even meaning, so seemingly he understands it to mean that I'm at home, they're in shul, but I can't daven earlier. I have to wait till they daven. Amar le, lav it mar la. No, he said, Rabbi said back to him, no, wasn't it stated regarding this? Amar Rav Abba says, b'tzibur shanu. This was taught b'tzibur. Meaning that when should you not daven before everybody else by musaf? That's if you're davening the tzibur. But if you're at home, you can daven a little bit earlier. That's okay. Which, by the way, a lot of what we're going to see, it makes us think about what's going on now and trying to arrange, because of the coronavirus and trying to arrange minyanim. There is definitely a milah to davening at the same time as the community. These dinim are going to be related to it. But anyway, what Abaye told him at the end of the day was, yeah, what would have been appropriate is to daven a little bit earlier because you're not with the tzibur. And eat something, and the reward, the schar you'd get for coming to shir would be a lot better. V'leis hilchosa lo k'rav huna v'lo k'rav Yeshua ben Levi. But the Gemara just tells us, l'naisa, the halacha is not in accordance with Rav Huna, and not like Rav Yeshua ben Levi. So, k'rav huna hadamran. What does it mean, Rav Huna? Well, Rav Huna says that you're not allowed to eat anything before musaf, you're not allowed to taste, a tima. So that we don't hold like that. You are allowed to eat something before musaf. Kiddush club's back in style now. So maybe. There are other problems with it. Just if you're leaving during Kriyas HaTorah, if you're leaving during the Haftorah, if you're leaving during the Rav's Drasha, which inevitably you're doing. So that's not a positive thing. But aside from that, are you allowed to taste something? Yes. Eat something, have a suda, that might be more problematic. But at least to taste something, that's okay. Krabi Yeshua ben Levi. So what in what regard is the halacha not in accordance to the Yeshua ben Levi? De Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Kevin Shegiyaz Man Tfilas HaMincha, Asher Lola Adam Yitshayitom Klum, Kodam Shehispala Tfilas HaMincha. Once it's Zman Mincha, you're not allowed to taste anything until Tfilas Mincha. Meaning, so once it's Zman Mincha, so that sounds a little bit strange. Hold on. So you're telling me that, let's say Mincha comes in on a perfect day, what time would Mincha be, right? If the day starts at 6 o'clock, what time would Zman Mincha be?
12:30.
From 12:30, I can't eat the whole entire day until I daven Mincha? Okay, so first of all, so he says that, he says you can't taste anything, you can't even have a bite, nothing. So, halacha is not in accordance with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. You can taste. Can you have a se'uda? So that also gets a little bit more complicated to have a se'uda or even a larger snack. A taste is mucher. We don't hold like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. A larger snack. So it's going to come down to if you have a set minyan later on and same thing. Well, by Ma'ariv, if you have some sort of like a shomer or a set minyan that you go to later on and it's part of the thing that you're not going to miss mincha, then it'll be mutter. But that's what the concept is coming to. Okay. New Mishnah. We have two Mishnayos tonight. It's actually of the seven Mishnayos in the Masechta. I think we have about four of them combined tonight on this Amud. So let's take a look. Masnisan Rabbi Nachuna ben Akana Hayel Mispala B'Kniyasas LeBeis HaMedrash V'Tziyaso Tefila Ketzara. Rabbi Nachuna ben Akana, the great Tana, Rabbi Nachuna ben Akana, he would daven when he would enter the Beis Medrash, and he had a little tefillah, a tefillah katsara, short tefillah, when he would exit the Beis Medrash. Amru lo, they said to him, Ma makom tefillah zu, what's the place for this? Meaning, Rashi says, Ma tiva, like what's its nature? What's the purpose of this tefillah? Or the quality of this tefillah, the characteristic of this tefillah? What type of tefillah is this? I never heard of such a tefillah. You enter the Beis Medrash, you leave the Beis Medrash, what type of tefillahs do you say? Amar lahem, he said to them, "B'kinisasi ani mispal shelo yera dvar takala al yadai." So when I enter the Beis Medrash, I daven that there shouldn't happen a dvar takala, a stumbling block, a mistake that happens through me. Right, I'm about to sit down and learn. I don't want to make a mistake. and that I should cause problems. Umitziyasi, and when I leave, ani nosein hoda chalki, I give thanks over my portion. So the Gemara is going to elaborate immediately. It's going to quote a brisa. Tana rabbanan b'kinisa somahu omer. What does he say? What did he say when he entered the Beis Medrash? So you can see this tefillah on the inside of any of many Gemaras. You can take a look at your Gemara now. It's many editions of the Gemara have it on the opening page or the second page. This little tefillah. Yeah. Yehi ratzon. So let's take a look. There's actually some Gemaras. They have two. They have one of, like, I think it's the Taz. But this is Rabbi Chunin ben Akadas. He says, Yehi ratzon milfanech Hashem elokai, shelo ya'ered dvar takala yadai. So maybe your will, Hashem, my God, that a dvar takala doesn't come through my hands. V'lo achshal b'dvar halacha, and I shouldn't stumble in a dvar halacha. V'yismechu b'chaveirai, and my friends will be happy with me. So there's actually two pshatim over here. That what he says that I shouldn't stumble and my friends should be happy with me. So Rashi says something very interesting. Rashi says v'yismechu chaveirai al kishloni hare ros shtaim sheivo al yaday sheegrom lahem sheanshu. He says that I shouldn't make a mistake and stumble, and that my friends are going to laugh at me and rejoice and say, ha, he made a mistake, and then they're going to be punished. I don't want people to be punished because of me. The Maharsha has a different pshat, which is that, don't make me stumble on a Dvar Halacha, and then my friends will be happy with me, because I didn't stumble in Halacha. They'll be happy. I'm not going to make mistakes. I'm not going to cause them to make mistakes. I mean, it's hard to see how it's phrased. It says, make sure that I don't stumble, and my friends will be happy with me, so that my friends will laugh at me. So there are two different ways of understanding this tefillah. V'lo omar al tamei tahar, v'lo al tahar tamei, don't let me mix up halachas atum and tahara, v'lo yichshul chavei rai b'dvar halacha v'esmach b'hem. And don't let my friends stumble on halacha, and that I should be happy with them because they didn't make a mistake, or that I will make fun of them, laugh at them, and be punished for that. So that's what he would say when he would go into enter davening. Can you imagine? I know from personal experience and then lack of personal experience of saying this tefillah and then, you know, not saying this tefillah. When you sit down to learn and you say, Hashem, please guide me to get to the truth of the Torah. I shouldn't make mistakes and I should get this clear. It changes your Seder. If you go in with this mission and this thought and like what I'm doing right now, I'm sitting in this half hour Seder and Hashem, please let me get it correct. Get me correctly, but please let me understand it well, because I'm going to walk out of this year, I'm going to share this, I'm going to let this impact my life, I'm going to share it with others. Please make sure that I don't make a mistake. It changes the quality of that learning. Aside from it being a tefillah, which of course is always helpful, but it changes the quality of that learning. And then, what would you say? Modani lefanech Hashem elokai shesam techel kim yoshei beis hamidrash v'lo sam techel kim yoshei karanos. Okay, so thank you Hashem. And this, of course, everybody knows from the Siyam. Thank you, Hashem, for placing my chelik in those who sit in the Beis Medrash and not those who sit with the coronavirus, right? Corona, Yoshe Koronos. I don't know. For those who sit at the street corners, Rashi says, you know, people who are chenvinim, storekeepers who don't spend any time learning, meaning not to say storekeepers don't spend any time learning. Chavetz Chaim was a storekeeper. We're saying that the storekeepers who don't, or the Amei Aretz Sukim B'Dvar Sicha, says Rashi, or, you know, Amei Aretz who just waste their time. So thank you for not making me one of them. Thank you for making me one of the B'nai Beis Medrash. Sha'ani mashkim v'hei mashkimim. I get up early and they get up early. Ani mashkim v'divrei Torah v'hei mashkim v'divrei b'teilim. I get up for Torah, they get up for wasted words. Ani amel v'hei mameilim. Ani amel v'kal eschar v'hei mameilim. I work very hard and I get schar for my working, and they work very hard and they don't get schar. We all run. Ani ratzachai olam haba v'hei ratzin l'ver shachas. I run to a life of olam haba and they run to a pit of destruction. Right? And there's the famous Chavetz Chaim here. It's a very famous Chavetz Chaim where he says, is that really true? They work and they don't get paid. Of course they do, right? You have some very wealthy Amei Aretz, very, very successful, unlearned businessmen. You have athletes who make a lot of money. What are you talking about? So the Chavetz Chaim famously says that we don't get the schar for we don't get the schar for the product, we get the schar for the amelus, right? Because if a shoemaker, I think the Chafetz Chaim said it with the shoemaker or a tailor, the shoemaker, he works 3 weeks on a pair of shoes, and l'maisa, he's just very unsuccessful, so the guy comes to pick up the shoes, sorry, I was not able to. Okay, so I'm not paying you. What do you, I spent 3 weeks, how are you not paying me? You're a melin, but you're in a makabim schar. You don't get schar for your melus, you get a schar for the finished product. However, if you spend 3 weeks on a sugya and you come out, right, you spend a whole morning seder, 2 hours trying to figure out a tosos, and you get to shear, and the whole entire thing is wrong. Completely missed the boat every little bit. It was as if you didn't even have a seder, it feels like. So you got schar for every single moment of that. Because, right, anomelin, vehomelin, but anomelin, makabim schar. We get schar not just for the finished product, for the amelus, famous Chafetz Chaim. Okay. So then, and that's a beautiful tefillah when you leave the Beis Medrash, and you know, I mean, I'm sure we've all felt that at a certain point you leave the Beis Medrash after like just a good seder, and you say, Baruch Hashem, that was geschmack, and you know, don't have one of those every day, but when you do, that was geschmack to thank Hashem for that, and also it empowers you before you leave, when you're leaving the walls of the Beis Medrash. I think it was Rav Shach who says this: if you're leaving the walls of the Beis Medrash and you're going out into the outside world, how do you keep it with you? So realizing that this was a gift, this is a bracha, this is a matana, shreinu matochal kenu manoyim garalenu mayafa yushasenu, right? That when you leave the Beis Medrash, say this was really wonderful. Thank you, Hashem, for letting me be a part of this. So when you go out and see things in the streets, you're not like tempted to like, you know, I want part of that. You say, no, I'm happy with my chelik. Okay. Tana Rabbanan, Kishachal Rabbi Eliezer. So we have a couple stories here, a couple of relatively famous stories of great Tanaim on their deathbeds. Kishachal, sorry to ruin the surprise. Kishachal Rabbi Eliezer, Nichnasu Tamid of Levakro. When Rabbi Eliezer, the great Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanos, was sick, his deathly ill, his students came to visit him, Amrulo, and they said to him, Rabbeinu, Lamdeinu Orcha Sachayim, Rebbe, teach us the ways of life. Teach us what we need to know, right? We don't know how much longer you're going to last, but we need to know, V'nizka behen l'chayi olam haba, and through the ways of life that you tell us, we're going to be able to earn olam haba. Amrulahem, he said to them, Kisharu b'chvod chavereichem, hold back, sorry, be very careful with the kavod of your friends, Umanu b'neichem min hegyon, hold and withhold your children from hegyon, which seems to be hagoy, means to like to enunciate, to recite, some sort of recital. Voshivan bein birkei talmidei chachamim, and sit them between the knees of talmidei chachamim. Uchashatem mispalalim, dil d'vnei atem umdim. And when you're davening, know before whom you are standing, right? Famous line, dal d'vnei miyata omed, in every shul, or should be, right? Know before whom you are standing in tefillah, so he tells them to this. U'b'shvil kach, and if you do this, tizku l'chai olam haba, you're gonna get olam haba. And those were his final words of Eitzah to them. So what does this mean? This hold back your children from recital. So the first shot is a little bit shocking. It might be, at least was to me. Rashi says, "Lo targilim b'mikra yosemi dai mishum demashcha." Do not make them too accustomed to Tanakh, to Mikra, to Psukim, because it draws them. Seemingly, they're going to love Tanakh so much that they're going to stay away from Torah Shavah Peh, Mishnah Gemara, which is a surprising thing. Wait, don't teach your kids Tanakh too much. And I think some people take this to the extreme. I'm sure if Shimon's still with us, I'm sure he definitely agrees about that, people not knowing Tanakh well enough. But that seems to be the first shot. That they shouldn't become too much. He says, Yosemi die. I don't know. Is that teaching them in a way that overemphasizes the pasuk? If you teach the pasuk over and over and over again, and maybe you don't mention that, but there's also drash, there's also remez, there's also sod, there's also the Torah Shebaal Peh, and if you overemphasize the text, because you know that's the only level they're at right now, it could be that's what it's saying, that when you're teaching your children, so yes, for sure, at this point they're not ready for Gemara, but don't teach them Tanakh as if that's all there is, because that's heresy. Right, that the Torah Shabbat is all there is. But I think for sure we're encouraged, our children should be knowledgeable in Tanakh, and definitely much more than the general, from populace is. And the other shot Rashi says is that, no, it's just Lashon Achar, Mesichas Yiladim. No, it means from recital, meaning like just wasting their words, I don't know, singing... what's it called? What's your name, Mary Jane? I don't know. These little childish games that I guess people recite and talk too much and wasted words. Try to keep them away from that kind of thing. Let them more valuable things, like sitting them between the knees of Talmidei Chacham, letting them watch the actions of a Talmid Chacham. Okay. Next story. Yichus Shechalo, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. When Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was sick, Nichnasu Talmidav Levakro. His Talmidim came to visit him. Interestingly, one of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's main Talmidim was Rabbi Eliezer ben Horkanus in the previous Gemara. So these are probably out of order. Not necessarily. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived a very long life. He lived to be 120. So it could be he outlived Rabbi Eliezer. Unsure. But this was his story. So he was on his deathbed. They came to visit him. Kevan Shara Osam, as soon as he saw them, he started to cry. Amrulo Tamidenu, Tamidav. His Tamidim said to him, "Ner Yisrael, light of Israel, candle of Israel. Amud Hayimini, the rightmost pillar. Pati Shachazak, the strong hammer, mighty hammer. Vibnei Mata Boche, why are you crying?" Right? They see this great hero. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is a tremendous hero, one of the greatest heroes in Judaism, I would say. What he did before Chorban Abayis Sheni. He saved the base, Rabbi Gamaliel, the base Nasius, Malchus base David was saved because of him. The Chachamim in Yavne was and Sanhedrin was reinstituted because of him. What he did for Klal Yisrael was tremendous, one of the greatest heroes, and for them to see him crying on his deathbed, they're shocked. Amar Lehi said to them, "Ilu fanai melech baster v'dam hayum alichin osish." If they were going to be taking me before a king of flesh and blood, shayom kanu machar bekever, and this king of flesh and blood. So today he's alive. Tomorrow he's in the grave. Shim kois alai ein kaso kasolam. If he's angry at me, it's not an eternal anger. Vimos srani ein isuro iser olam. And if he imprisons me, it's not an eternal prison. Vim mimiseni. Even if he kills me. Even if he kills me, in misasom misasolam, it's not an eternal death. Vani yachol lefaiso. And also, what else is a nice thing if you're going to be brought before a king? So it's good to be brought before a king of flesh and blood. Because first of all, whatever he can do to you for the worst is not eternal. But also, vani yachol lefaiso bedvarim. I'm able to appease him to words. I can kiss up. I can get him to be get on his good side. Ulishachto mamon. I can bribe him with money. And even knowing all that, I would cry before this king. But now, I am coming before the king of kings, the king who rules over kings, the holy one, blessed is he. He's completely eternal. His anger is an eternal anger. Vimosvani isuro isur olam. It's an eternal imprisonment. Vimiseni misaso misasolam. He can give me eternal death. Ve'eni yochol lefaiso. And also, I can't appease him bidvarim. I can't sweet talk him. I can't sweet talk God. I'm gonna bribe Hashem with money. Can you imagine going up to 120? Say, Hashem, here, look. Here's a 20. Let's forget about that avera that I did. Are you kidding me? Velo od, and he says more than elishi yesh lefanai shnei drachim. I have two paths in front of me. Shalgan echa shalgan eden v'acha shalgahenem ve'eni adeh ve'ezam alichin osi. There's a door to Gan Eden and a door to Gehenem, and I don't know which one I'm being brought through. Velo efke, I shouldn't cry. Amru lo Rabbeinu. So I mean, when you hear these words coming from Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, it's frightening. Frightening. Now he's not sure. So different explanations of what that could be. Like, what do you mean? He's not sure. You know, so it could be that on his level he didn't realize, you know, that. But to say that he was so not in touch, but yeah, I guess everyone is judged to their own standard. I remember learning from my Rebbe Rav Eli. Of Rabbi Marcus, I forgot whom he was. He quoted. It was like probably 10 years ago that I heard this, but that he was concerned about this, the big decision that he had to make when he went before Vespasian, and he had to plead on behalf of the Jewish people before Chorban Bayis Sheni, and he made like a genie three requests. He requested Yavne v'Chachmeha and the house of Rebbe Gamliel and to get a dacha for a tzaddok, and he didn't request Vespasian, please don't destroy the Beis HaMikdash. And it could be that his whole life he was wondering. I mean, of course he knew he was a tzaddik, but it could be he made one crucial decision that was so horrible. I mean, it could have been a mistake that resulted in the Chorban HaBayis, and it could be he could have prevented it. He wasn't sure. Is that going to be too much to ask? Is that not going to work? So it could be he had that suffix left until his dying day. Okay. Amar lo Rabbi, and they said to him, Rabbeinu Baruchinu, Rebbe, bless us. Amar lehem, he says, Yehi rason shetehei moris shemayim aleichem kemora basar v'dam. May you fear God the way you fear people. So Amar lo, tamid adkan. That's it, right? Adkan, this is it. This is it. That's all you're gonna give me. Rashi, you know, says bitmiya kolomar veloyosim emara basar v'dam. You're not giving me a bracha. I should fear God more than people. So Amar lehem, this powerful musar halavai should teidu kishkish adam over avera. Amar lo yirani adam. When a person does an avera, he says, I'm doing an avera, but I hope no one sees me do the avera. I want to do my avera in private. You think God can't see you? Right, the famous, you know, distinction between a ganav and a gazlan. So he says, halavai, you should be afraid of God as much as you are afraid of people. You know, we have an opportunity now. We're more on our own, right? So I mean, I guess our wives or parents or siblings can think we're bums, but usually we're in society, we're in shul, we're in the base measures. But now we have an opportunity where we're like behind closed doors a little bit to really work on this mita of. So now that most people aren't looking at me, let's say I zoom into the minion, but I turn off my screen, so no one really knows what's going on. It now, so it's really I'm more with the, you know, I have that opportunity to see Hashem. How real am I in my avodas Hashem? How well am I doing without the crowd watching? In general, I'm scared of you as much as I'm scared of people. But now I'm like, let's see. Okay, b'shas p'tirasu, in the moment that he died, Amar lehem, he said to them, panu kelu b'nei tuma. Remove the kalim because of tuma, meaning I'm going to be matame everything in the house. So I'm about to die. He felt he was about to die. The yechinu kisei lechezkiyahu melech Yehuda sheba, and set up a chair for Chezkiyahu melech Yehuda, who is going to come. Rashi says he's going to come to Lilavos to escort me. And the way my Rebbe Ravelli finished up the piece is that Chezkiyahu also had a big decision. He wasn't sure if he made the right decision, and so this was confirmation that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai indeed made the right decision, and he was on the way to Gan Eden. Okay, next Mishnah. Okay, how are we doing in time? We're a little over. We have a few minutes. Okay. Okay. So now this next Mishnah is actually like in the Mishnayos. There's three more Mishnayos in this one Mishnah. Rabban Gamliel Amar Bechol Yom V'Yom Mispal Adam Shmona Esrei. Every day a person should daven 18 brachos. Rabbi Yeshua Omer Me'ein Yudches. You should say an abridged version of the 18 brachos. You don't have to say the full 18 brachos. Just an abridged version, which I think the Gemara is going to speak about later on. Rabbi Kiva Omer. Rabbi Kiva says, "In Shagora Tefilas Befiv, if the tefillah is fluent in his mouth and he's on his game and he knows everything, he has daven right. They're davening by heart. Mispal Yudches. You should say the whole thing. Vimlav Me'ein Yudches. And if not, you should say an abridged version." Okay, so there are three opinions in how much of davening we should say daily of Shmona Esrei. Do you say say the full thing, full 18 brachos, an abridged version, or it depends? Those are the three opinions. Okay, Rabbi Yezer Omer Ha'osa Tfilaso Keva, somebody who makes his tefillah keva, ain't tefillaso tachnunim. His tefillah, it doesn't count as supplication before God. Right? This is mentioned in Pirkei Avos. We have a Mishnah speaks about this. I think it's in second parak of Pirkei Avos, Rav Shimon ben Netanel, one of the students of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. So don't make your tefillah keva. Don't make it set. The Gemara, I think, on Chav Tes is going to explain what that means, not to make your tefillah set. Obviously, wait, I'm not supposed to. So we'll get to what that means. But it should be tachnunim. It should be supplications. Rabbi Yeshua Omer HaHolich B'Makom Sakana. So Rabbi Yeshua says, if someone's going in a dangerous place, Mispal Tefillah Katsara V'Omer Hoshea Hashem Esamecha Asheris Yisrael. So you should say Tefillah Katsara. Like what? V'Omer, you should say, Hoshea Hashem Esamecha Asheris Yisrael. Hashem, save your nation, the remnant of Yisrael. Bechol Parsha Se'ibor, in every Parsha Se'ibor, the Gemara is going to explain what they mean. What's a Parsha Se'ibor? The Gemara will explain, don't worry. We got there. Yud Sarchayim Lefanecha, and in every Parsha Ha'ibor, their needs should be before you. Baruch Ata Hashem, Shomea Tefila. Okay, that's what you say in a dangerous place. Hayarochev Alechamor, if someone was riding on a donkey, Yered, you should get down. V'yispalo, better not to daven on a donkey. Okay, if this happens to any of you, ideally, you should not daven on the donkey, get down. He's not able to get down. Rashi says, you don't have anybody to hold the donkey, you're not going to have a settled mind. So, yachzer es panav, you should turn your face. So you should try to turn your face. Rashi says, "Litzad Yerushalayim." So I mean, no matter what you're facing on the donkey, turn your face in the direction of Yerushalayim. If you're not able to turn, so at least think in your heart, concentrate in your heart, connected base Kachay Kedushim, and that will help. Right, the Kachay Kedushim, as we learned in this week's parsha. That's the place of the Shechina, so that's where you should at least mentally be. If you were on a boat, ba'asta. So Rashi has two pshatim. Right, the first pshat is if you are in what's called stocks. They're like wooden things that prisoners were locked in. It's kind of where like the hand. Those kinds of things are stocks or the different types. There's also hands in front of you. Whatever it is, basically if you're chained up. So it's a real or the other pshat in Rashi is that it's a raft. Rashi says raspados, a raft. So if you're in a boat or stocks or a raft, so you're not easily able to turn yourself, yichavin nislibo keneged beis kachay kedashim. You should turn your heart to the beis kachay kedashim. Okay. Gemara. Han yudches keneged mi. So what are these 18 brachas keneged? We have 18 brachas in Shemona Esrei. Don't ask the obvious question. We'll get there. You have 18 brachas in Shemona Esrei. What are they connected? When Chazal established 18 brachos, it wouldn't just be, oh, that's a nice number. Oh, gematria chai. So, no, what is it? Amar Rav Hillel, Bereder Rav Shmuel, Bar Nachmani. Rav Hillel, the son of Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, says, connected yudchas askaros shamar David, behavel Hashem b'nei Elim. Right? In Tehillim, Chavtes, Mizmar l'David, right? As we say in every Kabbalah Shabbos, and as we say on Shabbos day when we put away the Torah. So, havel Hashem b'nei Elim. So there are 18 mentions of Hashem's name, and that's connected that. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Rashi quotes it, connects this pasuk to the first three brachas of Shemona Esrei. So it's this paragraph is connected to Shemona Esrei, and it has 18 mentions of Hashem's name, the 18 askaros of Hashem, so that's why we have 18 brachos. Rav Yosef argues connected yudchas askaros sheba kriyashma. It's for the 18 mentions of God's name in kriyashma, right? Of yudke vavke and Elohim and Elokeinu shows up 18 times. There's one time Elohim acharim, which is obviously not counted, right? That's because it's not referring to Hashem. But when Elokim or Elokeinu or Yudke Vavke is referring to Hashem 18 times in total, and that's why Tefillah is also 18 brachos connected that. Amar Tanchum, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, connected Shmona Esrei Chuliyos Shebeshidra. It's connected the 18 vertebrae of the spine. Okay, well, there's what to think about why that would be important to have the spine, but not for now. Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Amas Palat Sarach Sheikh Ra'ad Sheispaku Kukol Chuliyos Shebeshidra. So Rabbi Tanchum says in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that someone who davens needs to bow until the vertebrae like pop out of the back of his spine, meaning they stick out. That's how much you need to bow. You can't, like a little nod of the head is not going to be enough. Ula Amar Akadesh Shayira Isar Keneged Libo. So Ula says it's a strange measurement. He says until you see an isser, like a coin size of flesh, says Rashi, connected libo, opposite his heart. Meaning there's supposed to be like some fold on your chest or on your stomach or something like that of flesh. That's something you bow. That it's again not just bowing your head, but that like some flesh is doubled over the size of an isser, this coin. And that would be and that's what a good bow is. Rabbi Chanina Amar, Kevan Shenana Rosho, Shuv Einot Sarech. He says, Rav Chanina says, as long as you bowed your head, you shook your head, nodded your head, you don't need to do any more than that. Amar Rava, v'hud mitzar nafshe. No, that, hold on. That's not l'chatchila. That's only if it causes you pain, right? If you're not feeling well, if you're elderly, so then you could do that. Umechzi kaman dekara. And also, it has to look as if you tried to bow, right? Even if you didn't yourself. Good. Hani tani sari tish sari havyan. Hold on. Every number in Judaism, if you have right, if you know four cups, how many Pesach cups are there? It's four. No, but there's also a fifth, right? So what about the 18 brachos Shemona Esrei? No, Tish Sarihavian, there are 19 of them. What are you, so where did that come from? What? Here's something? Okay. Amar Levi, Birkas Hatzdukim B'Yavne Tiknua. So Rav Levi says that in Yavne, they established the bracha of the tzedukim, right? The tzedukim were people from the a group of people of Jews from the Second Temple period who did not believe in Torah Shebaal Peh. Different versions of the Gemara might have Birchas Haminim, which actually what we call it, which is the heretics, which might actually be the Christians. It might have been really a response to the Christians who were giving the Jewish people a lot of problems at the time. So Kenegin Mi Teknua. So they made up this new bracha. They felt like it was critical to make a bracha, really, it's a euphemism. It's a curse or a blessing to rid the world of these heretics. So, but you can't just add a bracha to Shmona Esrei. How do you do that? So Amar Reb Levi, right? So just last couple lines. Amar Reb Levi, Rabbi Hillel, Breder of Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Kenegin Kela Kavod Hirim, right? So the first opinion was that the 18 brachos are connected the 18 askaros in Mizmor LeDavid Havel Hashem. So wait, how can you make a 19th bracha? Where's your source? So the name Kale is there, right? So we use Kale to, that's a source for the 19th bracha, for permission to create a 19th bracha. But Rav Yosef connected Echad Shebekriyat Shema. So Rav Yosef said that, right, there's 18 mentions of Hashem's name in Kriyat Shema, so Echad, right, the oneness of Hashem. Of course, that right, that would definitely be a reference to Hashem, a name of Hashem in a sense, and therefore that would be the source for the 19th bracha. Reb Tanchum, Reb Yosef ben Levi, Kineged Chuya Ketana Shebeshidra. It's there's one small vertebrae in the extra vertebrae, the smallest one, that in the spine, probably the Luz bone, and that would be the source for the 19th bracha. And Mr. Shem, with the Reb Kohen tomorrow, you'll do this. Who created this bracha, and a lot more to discuss there. Yashar Koach. Good night. Be well. Be safe.